I think one of the passages in Ephesians, he says, don't lie to one another. He says, because we are members of one another. I think that's the key. We start thinking that way. And you've all got different gifts, talents, and abilities. We're to impact each other. But there's something we need to remember. And I put this up last week. If you're on the page, it's page three is where we're going to start. Where at the top of the page, it says two key aspects. You've already filled that out if you were here last week. And so I'm going to go very quickly through the first two or three things. But I just want to remind you, the two things we said is this. Number one, no individual can serve effectively by himself. It's not possible. You need others. In fact, the whole body of Christ needs everyone, and we spent some time on this last week, but whatever your gifts, talents, and abilities are, you are needed in this body. I mean, think about this. We've got the Hallelujah Party coming up, right? This thing is blank. With the gifts, talents, and abilities that you have, this thing needs to be filled out because we want to minister to those kids. It's a special night for them. We call it the Hallelujah Party. It basically takes the place of Halloween. They come up here. There's candy. There's games. There's stuff. But we got to have people there to love them and play with them and do the games and do everything. It is the highlight of some of these kids' lives. I mean, it's just so fun. But right now, I looked out there. Right now, there's one person signed up out there, and there's nobody signed up on this list. So we need you, because with the gifts, talents, and abilities that you have, whatever it is, you can say, I'll run a game. I'll be there. I'll go get candy. I'll be at the door to just scare them when they come in. I'll do whatever, you know, whatever you want to do. But that'd be fun, wouldn't it? I think I might do that. But anyway, okay, but anyway, why did I do that one? No individual can serve effectively by himself. So we got to have each other, even if it's just to scare one another. But anyway, the second thing which is true is that every believer is important and vital for the body to function. It is so true. 1 Corinthians 12:14, the body is not one member, but many. So we have to have all of us. And then, a couple of verses like the Romans 12:5 talked about we're members of one another. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says we have to care for one another. And at the bottom of the page, we see where the overarching one another, I think the one that fits all of them, is to love one another. The Matthew 22 is where they came to Jesus and said, what is the great commandment? And he said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. And the second one is equal to it, love your neighbor as yourself. So the bottom line is loving. If you love one another, you will do all the rest of the one another's. That's why I'm calling it the overarching one. In fact, on our study, we just could say, what should we do? We should love one another. And then when you're doing that, of course, he reminds us of all the other one another's, but we'll be doing that if we do it. On the next page, we talked about it last week. Lawyer tested Jesus in the Old Testament. There were how many commandments? 613, so you could fill that blank in. And they tested Jesus saying, what's the great commandment? Verses 37 through 39 on your sheet, he said, love God and love others. That's the bottom line. And then there's a new commandment. He got to the end. And then in John 13, this is the one that I love. Because Jesus said, a new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another. And if we stopped right there, we'd say, well, that's not a new commandment, because he's already given it in the Old Testament. But then he says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. See, that's greater than even loving yourself. Because we love ourselves, but we don't even love ourselves as much as God loves us. That's why it's a new commandment. That's why it's a greater level. That's why it's a different step on this thing. And so love one another as I have loved you, or as God has loved you, whatever. And then we saw the verses, I think last week we actually got into 1 John. And 1 John 4 is so powerful. I think for the slide, 1 John 4, verse 11 would be sort of the summary of the whole thing. But beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That's really the key. I think if you just said, how do believers relate to each other in the body? 1 John 4:11, love one another. As God has loved us, love others. If God so loved us, and Jesus said you should love others as I have loved you, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. I've got on the page, and I'm not sure, did we get this far last week? We did or didn't? We did. Okay, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, I love this. He said, now as to the love of the brethren, Paul writes to these people in Thessalonica. Now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to do what? Love one another. He said, I don't even have to write this to you. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica. It's his second and third letters. And he writes to them and says, you don't have any need for me to really talk about this, because God has already told us that we're to love one another. The famous one in John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment. This is Jesus' last last night. I love it because it's upper room. You know, just to tell you something, you think about the differences in the Gospels. You know, we're talking about Matthew presents him as a king and Mark as a servant, Luke as man and John as God. But if you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke and you go to the upper room discourse and the Last Supper, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, if you put them all together, there's probably not 15 verses on the whole thing. You go to the Gospel of John and there's chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Those chapters are the upper room. He covers the whole thing in detail. And in chapter 15 of John, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." So that's really the key. At the bottom of that page, there is an error. It's not a twofold goat. It is a twofold goal, though. We really put that in there just to see if you would be watching and paying attention to the study. But there are really two goals, I think, as we look at this. I don't know if I have them here. Yeah, I do. That as we think about living this way, as we fulfill the one another's, it will be a testimony to the unbelieving world. He says in John 13, he says, "They will know that you're my disciples by your love for one another." You know, it is so different. It is so different by the love we have for one another. That's different than the whole rest of the world and how they look at it. Because the world is saying, "I got to look out for me. I got to take care of myself. I deserve a break. You know, if I don't look out for me, nobody else will. I got to get the best thing. And, you know, I'm just sorry, but that's just the way it is." But the Bible says love one another. And the whole idea of loving is looking out for what's best for them, because that's what love really is. Love is doing what's best for the other person. And so what we do is we actually look out for what's best for others rather than what's best for us. And that is so different than the world that it shocks them. And that's why it's a testimony to the unbelieving world. Now, the problem sometimes is that we look just like the world. We do. We forget what we're supposed to do. We get up in the morning and we say, "Wonder what's in it for me." When what we should say is, "Lord, how do you want to use me to touch the lives of other people today for you? Because I'm to love the Lord to God with all my heart and all my soul, and love my neighbor as myself, and love my other people as much as you have loved me." So we have to change our thinking if this is going to work. Because you know, the top of the next page, or the next page, is the overarching is all the one another's. You think about this. If you turn to the next page, which is our kind of our handout, which is our outline, there are a whole bunch of one another's there. And if we don't love one another, and if we don't change our thinking, we're not going to be able to do all those things. I've got it up here for you. It says the one another's, the overarching one another, is to love one another. And I really believe that if I would love other people, I would do all these other things. And when we're not doing these other things, guess what you know you're not doing? You're not loving. If you're not building up people and being devoted and being kind, and you know, you can immediately know that if you're not kind, you're not loving. Did I say something wrong? What did I say? Oh, no. Where does it say that? Whoa. Well, that could work, too. I mean, you know, that could work. Well, we'll change the chart for next week. What does it say up there? It says, "Look, okay, what happened is the E got left off." Isn't that correct? Whew. Well, we should love one another. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It's got to be the right person, though, let me tell you. Maybe we should do another study. I don't know. This is not... What happened to the twofold thing? We didn't even get to finish all that because I said that next chart. Well, that's our testimony, but it is the number two thing. If you got it, that's that page right before it. The number two aspect is that we serve and minister to each other. That's why we do all of this. Well, we do have the chart which says to love one another, but we should love one another. 1 John 4:11. Think about the things. Let's look at them together. The first one, I think the overarching one, is to love one another. That's the key. I've got 7 positives and 3 negatives, meaning there are 7 positive things that we're to do with one another and the 3 negatives not to do one another. And so the first one is to serve. And I think that's a key, because we're going to find that as you tie love, the first thing you see when you start loving is you serve. You remember Galatians? It says, "By love, serve one another." That's what it says. So it's love that brings about the serving. So we're going to talk about serving one another. And then number two is to care for one another. And if you notice, the care for one another has a whole bunch of different things under it. It starts off with, how do you care for one another? Well, you're kind and you regard one another, and you're devoted to one another. But even under being devoted to one another, I've got two other things that tie in to be devoted. I think I have them on this chart. Yeah, under being devoted to one another, there's bear one another's burdens and accept one another. Look at that carefully, and you see it easier on this chart. You're caring for one another as you're kind. You're regarding one another. You're caring for one another as you're regarding. You're showing each other special. You're devoted to one another. That's how you care for one another. And as you care for one another and being devoted, you're bearing one another's burdens and you're accepting one another. We'll get to it in a little bit. But you know, it is so easy to find everything that's wrong with everybody else. That's why this accepting one another is that idea of accepting us for who we are. It is so easy to look at everybody. You can look at anybody in this room and find something you don't like about them. You can be critical of everybody and everything. But what we have to do is, if we're going to be caring for them and being devoted to them, we got to accept them. And we got to bear one another's burdens, which means everybody's got a burden. Everybody in this room has got things that are going on in their life that is weighing them down. And you have to be there to help them. There's no other way. Because you can't go through life by yourself. You can't. It just won't work. And people that try to do that are very frustrated and angry. And they don't even know why they're angry. They're angry because they're not allowed other people into their life. The only way that we're going to love one another, care for one another, serve one another, build up one another, admonish one another, you got to let each other do that in our lives. So it's a twofold street. It's a twofold street. I remember one time there was a person that had a need in the church a long time ago. Long, 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 long time ago. And I found out about it, and so some other people and I, we got together something, and we took it to the person. He wouldn't take it. He said, I don't take handouts from anybody. I said, well, it's not a handout. We just know you have this need, and we love you, and we would like to give this to you. He would never take it. So I took it. No, I didn't take it. I don't know what we did with it. I think we tried to give it back to the people who gave it to us. But the bottom line is, for it to really work, we got to open each other up in that sense and saying, okay, I'm going to serve and I'm going to allow myself to be served. I'm going to care. I'm going to allow myself to be cared. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to allow people to be kind to me. I'm going to bear one of those burdens. I'm going to let them bear my burdens. I'm going to accept other people just as they accept me. That's the way it's got to work. And let me tell you, when we do this, we will be so different than everybody else. And everybody will notice it. They will notice it. Look at the next one, build up one another. Oh, I love this one. Encourage one another ties into that. I mean, that's the key. Because the whole world tears us down. It tears us down all the time. Just go anywhere. Go to your work. Go to school. Go in your neighborhood. I mean, there's going to be somebody tearing you down. There's going to be people telling you you can't do it. There's going to be people telling you how dumb you are, how this doesn't work. There's going to be people who will say something good to your face and behind your back. They'll do everything they can to tear you up. So what we got to have is people who are building us up. Looking out at each other and saying, you know, I'm behind you all the way. You can do it. You can do it. Build each other up. Encourage one another. The fourth one is admonish one another. That's a little bit harder because that's actually loving a person when you tell them something is wrong. And people don't always respond as well as they should. But the Bible talks about you've got to do that. You've got to be able to go to the person in love. That's the key. And admonish. The fifth one is forgive one another. Now, this is probably destroys more people than anything else. And it's the person who needs to do the forgiving. We did a study on forgiving one another, even as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven us. And let me tell you, if there's somebody that's hurt you and you don't forgive them, the one that's really, really bothered by this is you. It tears you up. Because you look at them and you go, boy, they did me wrong and they're never going to get away with this. I'm never going to really be close to them again. I'm never going to talk to them. I'll smile at them and be nice, but I'm never going to be nice to them again. They it tears you up. And people need to know they're forgiven. I mean, we all make mistakes and sometimes we do something wrong and we need for somebody to say, don't worry about it. It's over, man. Don't worry about it. We love you. You just messed up. We all mess up. We got to be forgiven and we got to forgive. I've been listening to some, I used to say tapes or CDs by Menorth and Meyer, who were two professors at Dallas Seminary who were also psychiatrists, have the largest Christian psychiatric hospital in the world and the largest clinics around the United States in the world. They're really great. And I graded for them. I worked for them. And I've got some CDs by them right now. And they're talking about, you know, people and feeling burned out. And the number one, what do you think the number one cause of burnout is? we would say, well, the number one cause of bitterness is like a type A personality. I don't know anybody with a type A personality, but you probably know people with type A personalities, and you say they're candidates for burnout. And number two is just long hours and stuff. But you know what the number one reason is? It's bitterness and lack of forgiveness. It's anger. It's anger and bitterness that causes people to burn out. It causes them to crash because they hold that in and they're angry with people and they're bitter about something that's happened, and it destroys them. And they're sad. They get depressed. Anger leads to depression. Susie can tell you all that. It leads right to it. I'm not saying because she's depressed, right? She's, yeah. You're not angry or depressed, are you? No, you're not. You're not. She teaches this stuff and is a counselor and all herself. And so she could get up here and teach this stuff for, as far as I'm concerned. But she knows that stuff. You hold that in, and you know what you become? You become angry, then you become bitter, and then you become depressed. And you go through life and you say, how you doing? And you say, I don't know. Just things aren't, I don't know what's the matter. Things just aren't really right in my life. I don't know what it is. I'm just not really happy. There's something wrong, and what you can say is, who are you really angry at? Who have you not forgiven? What are you bitter over? Because that it just comes out that way. That's why we have to forgive. Six is pray for one another. That is a key. Everybody in this room ought to have a prayer book, and you ought to write down all the people that are closest to you in your lives, and you ought to write down their names, and you ought to pray for them. Some of them you pray for every day, some of them you pray for once a week. You just have your sheet, and you're praying for people. You ought to do it. And if you don't have that, go into the office. Ruth will get you some. We've got a prayer books. We'll just give them out. And we've got pages that'll say, here's people I pray for every day. Here's people I pray for these certain days of the week. Here, and you can pray for everything. And you must pray for others because they'll be praying for you. You know what difference it makes? It's huge. And then submit to one another. Boy, Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another. And then it goes on with the different areas of submission. The husband and wife relationship and the parents and children relationship and the slave-master relationship, which is, we'd say, employee-employees. They all tie together. And we have to do that. We're going to be different when we do it. And then the negative ones, don't judge one another. Don't judge one another. Now, you have to be careful in this one because people misunderstand what it means. Because to judge somebody doesn't mean you go up to, a lot of people say, who are you to judge me? You go to somebody and they're doing something wrong. Let's say that they're committing adultery. And they're close enough to you that you have a relationship with them. And somehow you talk to them and you say, you know that's wrong. And they look at you and say, who are you to judge me? This passage is not saying, oh, sorry, it says don't judge one another. I shouldn't have said that. No. See, who does the judging in that situation? The Word of God is the judge. You're saying, here's what the Word of God says. To judge one another is to judge people's motives. You can't judge people's motives. You can judge their actions. You can't judge their motives. See, you can't judge why I'm teaching. You can't say he's teaching because he loves the Bible and loves God or because he wants to be up here and people think he's good. Who knows? You can't judge why somebody sings. You can't judge why anybody does anything. You don't know their motives. You don't know their hearts. So when it says judge not, he's not talking about actions. He's talking about motives. You can't judge that. No conflicts. Don't have the conflicts one with another. Don't have the lawsuits one with another. That's another tough one in our culture, and all of these are ones that we'll be looking at in the next weeks to come. Now let's look over the next page. I've got the four key truths as a believer I think that we just need to think about. Because here we are, we've trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. We're supposed to be in these relationships one with another. We're in the body of Christ, those kind of things. So here's the first thing that I want you to remember is we are reconciled to God. These are not necessarily the one another aspect, but these are truths that tell us where we are as we begin this journey of one another's. And the first thing is that we are reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, God's reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and has given to us the word of reconciliation. You realize that when you believed in Jesus Christ, he has taken you, perfect God, sinful man, he has taken you and brought you back to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. That's reconciliation. That's what it is. And I hope and pray that every one of us in this room, I look at your faces, I know almost every one of you, that you have believed in Jesus Christ and you are reconciled to God. You were an enemy. You were like sheep going astray, doing your own thing. We were all doing that. And here we are out there, and God in His love and grace and mercy reaches out to us with His Son, Jesus Christ, and brings us back to Himself. We're reconciled to God. The teaching on reconciliation in the Bible is one of the greatest it'll change your life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you go back just from 17 through 21 is one of the great passages in the Bible. So if you want to study that sometime just for fun, 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. There's a second aspect that not only are we reconciled, but we became a child of God. We are in the family of God. John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in His name. We are in the body of Christ with fellow believers. We're heirs of God. We become a child of God. You know what's so amazing? You can't become a non-child. You can't go back. So when you're born into the family of God, you're a child forever. That's part of our eternal security. But we became a child of God when you believed in Jesus Christ. There's a third thing, and that is we're blessed. Ephesians 1 says He's given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So you may be blessed physically and materially, but you are definitely blessed spiritually. Every one of us have been raised up and seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. We are blessed. It's powerful. Reconciled, become a child, blessed. And then the last one, we are empowered to serve. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, this is the reason I brought this one up. Empowered to serve is because this is how we do the one another's. You become a child of God. You've been reconciled to God. You have all the blessings from God. And He said, now I'm empowering you as My representative on this earth. When you walk on this earth, you are God's representative. Now, we don't always think of it that way. We think, I just kind of do my own thing, and every now and then God might use me. You must realize that every moment of every day, you're an ambassador for Christ as though God did beseech through you. You are God's representative. You are empowered by God to serve. He has given you gifts, talents, and abilities. He's given us all these one another's. He's given us all these things. We are to walk out. First of all, we minister to each other here, but we walk out these doors in that community as a representative of Christ, empowered to serve Him. Now, Jesus could have stayed on the earth and done any ministry, anything that He wanted to do. He chose to go back to be with the Father, and He chose to take 12 guys, really 11, and then it began to spread. He said, I'm going to tell you guys, here's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. You wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then when He comes upon you, you'll be My witnesses, starting in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in the whole rest of the world. And what you do is you're going to be My body on this earth. That's why you're an eye or a nose or a finger or a hand or a foot. You're something. You're a part of the body of Christ. Since He's not here and He sees the right hand of the throne of the Father, He's left us. That's why there's one body with how many members? Many members. And you are empowered to serve Him. And so when we go out these doors, you're the representative of Jesus Christ. In fact, when Paul was persecuting some of the believers, what did Jesus say? He found Paul and said, Saul, Saul, why are you what? Persecuting me? Well, Paul could have said, I'm really not touching you. No, if you touch My people, you're touching Me because they're My body. That's the body of Christ. That's the church. That's the believers. That's the ones I've empowered to serve and to go out. And so that's who we are. And so with this in mind, and I know we have just a minute or two, with this in mind, let's think about the overarching one. It is to love one another. And I've got it next week, and we'll start it, but we're going to really get into the very first of the one another's, and that's to serve one another. But I want you to see something. Just turn to Galatians just for a minute. I just want you to read it today, and then next week we'll get into the details. Because this is how it ties together. And as you're turning there, let me ask you a question. What are you doing with your life? Some are young, some are older. What are you doing with your life? Sometimes when we're young, we think, I'm not ready yet. sometimes when we're older, we say, let the young people do it. I've sort of lived in my time. You can't think that way. You got to serve God to the day that you die. So here's my question to all of us. What are we doing with our lives? Are we playing the game? See, there are a lot of people who play church. I think our people are incredible. I mean, when I look at y'all, I say, man, most of the time in this church, in the history of the 21 years I've been here, if we say to the body, there's a particular need and here's what we need, I mean, the next day the building is full of whatever we needed. Or if we say, there's a particular person's got something, if you'll come see me, 10 people are showing up right that second. I imagine that even just me saying to our group, we need some help in that hallelujah deal. I imagine that all of a sudden people say, oh, I didn't know there was a need. If there's a need, I'll serve, because that's what this church is all about. But that's the question to think. What are you doing with your life? You're a representative of Christ. Look at Galatians 5. This is how we end. That was the second bell. He says, brethren, 2 Corinthians 5, Galatians 5:13. For you are called to freedom, brethren. You are. We're called to freedom. Only don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. He says, you're free as a believer to do stuff. Don't use it to sin. But notice, but through love, serve one another. The first one another we're going to look at next week will be to serve one another. If you want to look ahead, if you want to look at some different verses, you can. But in love, you serve one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. What a day when we think about our lives that you have told us that just as you loved us, we're to love other people. And we know that's even beyond us. It's got to be your power through us, because in the natural person, we can't even do that. But in the supernatural aspect of the power of the Holy Spirit, we can. And so, Lord, we want to do that. And you've set us apart, and we know that if we're loving one another, we'll do all those other one another's. And Lord, may we realize that you have left us on this earth. We've been reconciled to you. We've become a child of God. We are blessed by you, and we've been empowered by you as your representative to touch lives. And so, Lord, I pray that each one of us in this room, whether we're young or middle-aged or older, whatever it is, we will realize you have us here for such a time as this, with the gifts, talents, abilities, power, everything to serve you. May we love one another. We ask this in Jesus' name.